Badasra, Ketu Malam, Ketu Mala, Cha, also Bharatam, Bharata, Cha, and Uttaran, Northern Countries, Kurun, Kingdom of the Kuru Dynasty, Kimpurushadini, our country beyond the northern side of the Himalayas. Varshani, parts of the earth planet. Vijitya, conquering. Jagrahe, exacted. Balim, strength. Translation, Maharaj Parikshit then conquered all parts of the earthly planet. Bhadrasva, Ketu, Mala, Bharata, Northern Kuru, Kim Purusha, etc., and exacted tributes from their respective rulers. Purport, Bhadrasra. It is a tract of land near Meru Parvata, and it extends from Gandhamadana Parvat to the saltwater ocean. There is a description of this Varsha in Mahabharata. The description was narrated by Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra. Maharaj Yudhisthira also conquered this Varsha, and thus the province was included within the jurisdiction of his empire. Maharaj Parikshit was formally declared to be the emperor of all lands ruled by his grandfather, but still he had to establish his supremacy while he was out of his capital to exact tribute from such states. Ketumala. This earth planet is divided into seven dvipas by seven oceans, and the central dvipa called Jambudvipa is divided into nine varshas or parts by eight huge mountains. Varsha is one of the above mentioned nine varshas, and Ketumala is also described as one of the above varshas. It is said that in Ketumala Varsha women are the most beautiful. This varsha was conquered by Arjuna also. A description of this part of the world is available in Mahabharata Sabha 28.6. It is said that this part of the world is situated on the western side of the Meru Parvata. And inhabitants of this province used to live up to 10,000 years. Human beings living in this part of the globe are of golden color, and the women resemble the angels of heaven. The inhabitants are free from all kinds of diseases and grief. Bharatvarsha, this part of the world is also one of the nine varshas of Jambudvip. A description of Bharatvarsha is given in Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva, chapters 9 and 10. In the center of Jambudvip is Ilavritavarsha, and south of Ilavritavarsha is Harivarsha. The description of these varshas is given in Mahabharata. Nagaramscha, Vanamschaiva, Nadischa, Vimalodaka, Purushandeva, Kalpamscha, Narischa, Priyadarshana, Adrista, Purvan, Subhagan, Sadadarsha, Dananjaya, Sudanani, Cha, Subrani, Naris, Chapsarasam, Nibha. It is mentioned here that the women in both these varshas are beautiful, and some of them are equal to the apsaras, heavenly women. Uttara Kuru. According to Vedic geography, the northern portion of Jambudvip is called Uttara Kuru Varsha. It is surrounded by the saltwater ocean from three sides, and is divided by Sringavan Mountain from the Hiranmaya Varsha. Kimpurusha Varsha, it is stated to be the north of the great Himalayan mountains, which is 80,000 miles in length and height, and which covers 16,000 miles in width. These parts of the world were also conquered by Arjuna. The Kimpurushas are descendants of a daughter of Daksha. when Maharaj Yudhisthira performed a horse sacrifice yajna, the inhabitants of these countries were also present to take part in the festival, and they paid tributes to the emperor. This part of the world is called Kimpurusha Varsha, or sometimes the Himalayan provinces, Himavati. It is said that Sukadev Goswami was born in these Himalayan provinces, and he came to Varsha after crossing the Himalayan countries. In other words, Maharaj Parikshit conquered all the world. He conquered all the continents, adjoining all the seas and oceans in all directions, namely the eastern, western, northern, and southern parts of the world. Maharaj Parikshit then conquered all parts of the earthly planet, Bhadrasa, Ketu, Mala, Bharat, northern Kuru, Kimpurusha, etc., and exacted tributes from their respective rulers. So Bharat was the country in which Parikshit and the Pandavas had lived, and that's where the Mahabharat War, or the Kurukshetra War, also took place. And Bharat is also famous for many of the holy places, for instance, Dwarka and Mathura and Vrindavan and Rameshwaram, Mayapur, etc. But apart from Bharat, then we have these other places. So I mentioned previously in discussing the geography of the fifth canto that the place in the middle of the universe, below the heavenly planets and above the hellish planets, is called Bhumandala, which is like a big disk within which we have the hellish planets going down. And above the disk we have heavenly planets, and starting with the sun and the moon, etc. But on the earth planet, it's or the middle section, that's what's called Bhumandala, we have different dvipas, or islands. So the central island is called Jambudvip. And this is the area which Parikshit ruled. And in the center of that Jambudvip is this huge mountain called Mount Meru. And the top is greater than the bottom, the dimension. So it's like an upside down cone, so to speak, stuck into the earth. And on top we have the residences of the Dikdevatas and Brahma. And from there the holy rivers flow down, including the Ganga River and others that divide up and go into the different Varshas. So that's the central island, Jambudvip, named after a jambu tree. A big jambu tree is there also. And then of course we have oceans. And then we have islands and oceans and islands. So we get seven of those islands, Saptadvipa, spreading outwards from the center. Ocean, island, ocean, island, ocean, island, like that. So they're ring-shaped islands. They're very strange. They're ring-shaped. There's an ocean shaped like a ring, and then there's a island shaped a ring, an ocean, like that. So we have, and the oceans are also different substances. So we have a saltwater ocean, we get a liquor ocean, and then we get a ghee ocean and a yogurt ocean and a milk ocean and a freshwater ocean, etc. We get different oceans as well. And as you go outwards, the oceans are twice as big as the previous ocean in terms of diameter. So, and then the dvipas are also twice as big as the previous one. So it's actually a very expansive structure. In the middle we got this little Jambudvip, which is actually big, very big from our point of view. Because the central mountain itself is much, much bigger than our whole Earth planet as we know it today. So, on that central dvipa, like this, we get Mount Meru in the middle, coming up, and then we get divisions. Nine divisions called Varshas. So at the very bottom we have Bharat Varsha, that's the southern part. Then we have the Himalayan mountain range. Then we got Kimpurusha Varsha. Then we got another mountain range. Then we get Hari Varsha. Then we get another mountain range. And after that, we get three central Varshas: Bhadrasva, Ketu Mala, which are mentioned here, and in the middle, Ilavrita Varsha. And in the middle, Ilavrita Varsha is Mount Meru. And then above we get Kuru Varsha and a few others up on top. And then we have the ocean. So the Ilavrita Varsha doesn't even touch the ocean at all because it's the central island on a central Varsha, and then on that we get Mount Meru. So all of these are separated by huge mountain ranges that you cannot go over by normal endeavor. And Prabhupada here mentions, I think, the height of these mountain ranges, a very fantastic amount of thousands of miles. And each we see has a description, and some of the inhabitants are described here as they're having no diseases, no lamentation. The women are very beautiful, and they live up to 10,000 years, people. So this is, in other words, very heavenly compared to Bharat Varsha, where we have yuga cycles, where at the Kali Yuga everyone lives less than 100 years. So they live 10,000 years, and they don't have the yuga cycles also going on. So all of these Varshas are actually very, very, like, they're heavenly. And they're called Bhoma Svarga, or earthly heavenly planets. They're on the Bhumandala, but they are like Svargaloka, kind of. So it is said that the devatas, when all their pious activities are exhausted, then they descend into Bhoma Svarga, and they inhabit these different heavenly planets on earth for some time. So in other words, the Bhumandala has in the center this Jambudvip, and it was ruled by Parikshit Maharaj. But it had these huge mountain ranges between the different areas, and then very, very heavenly kingdoms in these different Varshas. And Parikshit was able to control everything, so he was in control of the whole of that central Jambudvip. So that is why they are described here, to show that he was so powerful he could control that whole dvipa. And of course, some of the kings aren't that powerful, so they control less, and they may control only Bharat Varsha. But he was able to control everything. So this is an indication of his great prowess. Of course, in the different Varshas, we have different rulers, but they submit to one king, Parikshit Maharaj, even though they do have their separate rulers. This is what we mean by here, Jagre Balim. Balim here means tribute or offering. So each of these kingdoms, with their king, they give an offering to Bali to show that they are submissive to him and they're willing to cooperate with him. So he accepted all these different offerings from them after conquering them, or admitting that they would have to admit that they were submissive to him, and then they would give some offering, some tribute, and he would accept that. And this way he went to all of the different portions of his kingdom. So what this indicates is he was very powerful. On our little Bharat Varsha here, or we can say earth or whatever we want to call it, people sometimes struggle to control a little area, a little country. And it's very difficult to keep a country together. They keep wanting to, little parts want to revolt. Even in India we find, before the British, there were many different separate parts. And that's why Britain could conquer, England could conquer India, because it was all separate groups. They weren't united. We find that similarly around the world. People have kingdoms, and then kingdoms fall apart after some time. So the Roman Empire extended all over Europe, more or less, and then it fell apart. Alexander established a kingdom from Europe all the way to India, and fell apart. Genghis Khan established a kingdom all the way from China over to Europe, and it fell apart. So different kings try to control bigger and bigger areas, and then fails. So that is, it's very difficult to control everybody on this on our Earth planet. It requires great ability and great power. Here we have Parikshit Maharaj able to control all of the different varshas all around Mount Meru with no endeavor. Yeah? He didn't even have to fight, really. He went to these different areas and they all submitted to him. He didn't have to have big battles and wars with lots of killing. They naturally submitted to him. So this was a sign of the authority of Parikshit Maharaj. He was the last descendant of the Pandavas. And of course the whole battle of Kurukshetra was fought so that the Pandavas could rule. And finally they did win. So after that, there was no big fight. So Parikshit didn't have to have huge battles to conquer anyone, everyone. But we also know that this was more or less the end of Dwarpa Yuga and the beginning of Kali Yuga. So this looks like an ideal state, but it would very quickly disintegrate. And that is what is described here in this chapter. Gradually, Kali Yuga crept in and began its influence. While Parikshit was alive, Kali Yuga could not enter, so therefore he could rule nicely. After he disappeared, kings were not so powerful, and so gradually, Kali Yuga, more sinful activity began to manifest on the Earth planet. And in this way, Kali Yuga became powerful and dominated everything eventually. So as I said, this is mainly the where in Varsha that all of this takes place, the Kali Yuga type activities. And these other Varshas are heavenly, they don't get affected by these things. So Varsha is in a more unfortunate state because of that. But the Lord has his own arrangement, and everybody gets a chance to surrender to the Supreme Lord in any condition, in any varsha, in any dvipa, or any planetary system, from the lowest to the highest. That's the mercy of the Lord. He makes arrangement for everyone. And that takes place over time. So in all yugas and in all manvantaras, there is opportunity for everyone. So that's why the Lord establishes the dynasties of Manus that continue for 71 yuga cycles, so that everyone gets a chance, human beings get a chance to advance spiritually. But then we get, within Varsha, we get the cycle of Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, Kali, and then we see extremes of dharma, from very good dharma to very almost no dharma. Adharma is prominent in Kali Yuga. So, unfortunately, some people, some of the humans have to experience these conditions of adharma, prevalent adharma in Kali Yuga. So that's the negative aspect. But the Supreme Lord is present in all cases, so that the dharma may not be intact and sinful activities may be prominent, but we have yuga avatars. So in each yuga, we have an avatar coming to manifest dharma in a way suitable for the people. So in Kali Yuga, we also have the avatar, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he gives a suitable method, that is Nam Sankirtan, for everyone in Kali Yuga. So that is why at the end of the Bhagavatam, in conclusion, it says that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. It's prominent. Faults are prominent everywhere. Nevertheless, there is a very good quality. And this is the saving grace of Kali Yuga, that is Nam Sankirtan of Krishna's name. So, therefore, the unfortunate circumstance of Kali Yuga is not so unfortunate after all, because we have a very special process and a very special Yuga avatar coming in the form of Swayam Bhagavan himself, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way we get some blessing from the Supreme Lord. So Parikshit was maintaining that kingdom, but then Kali Yuga was becoming more powerful, and eventually it took over. And in the ninth canto we have a whole description of how the, and also in the 12th canto there, the disintegration of the dynasties until the descendant of Manu is no longer visible anymore. And so therefore the countries don't have proper rulers at all. And this is of course typical of Kali Yuga, a lot of confusion. But the Lord does not abandon the people in this situation. So we have the process of Nam Sankirtan and the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help the people in spite of all the difficult situations. So because of that, it said that even the devatas desire to come to Bharat Varsha because they have an opportunity to participate in Nam Sankirtan, which is the most powerful method. And this is more attractive than anything else. It's better than Svarga Loka, it's better than the other Varshas, etc., because we have the process of Nam Sankirtan here. So, therefore, we don't have to lament our particular condition now and think, oh, it was much better in Satya Yuga or Dwarpa Yuga or Treta Yuga. The external conditions are worse, but our spiritual condition is better because we have the most powerful process and we have the powerful form of the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, giving Nam Sankirtan movement. So, and of course the other thing is, so this, that's why this story is recited, is that ultimately we get the Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Maharaj went out and he conquered everywhere and then he controlled Kali, and then what happened? He got cursed by a Brahmana to die. He couldn't get conquered. He couldn't get conquered by the kings or anything. He's very, very powerful. Somehow a Brahmana sun cursed him, and then he had to die in 7 days. So that looks tragic and unfortunate, dying at a young age when he had power, etc. But the good fortune was Srimad Bhagavatam was the result. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam. So there was no misfortune there also. In fact, it is said that the curse and everything was an arrangement of the Supreme Lord so that Bhagavatam could manifest in Kali Yuga. Bhagavatam is another form of the Supreme Lord. The sages ask the question, now that Krishna's gone, what do we do? Where's Dharma? So then the answer is, Bhagavatam has arisen like the sun to illuminate the darkness of Kali Yuga. Okay. So this is, if there's no Krishna here, we have Bhagavatam. And very nicely then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes Bhagavatam and reveals Bhagavatam to us also. So the combination of Lord Chaitanya and Bhagavatam is the saving grace of within this Kali Yuga. So the Parikshit Maharaj is very capable, but as a king, but we see his greater qualification was that he could receive the Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami. He was qualified. Sukadev Goswami wandered around and he didn't speak to anybody. But then he revealed Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit because he was the qualified person to hear it. So he was not just a political leader. He was a very, very great devotee of the Lord. Most privileged to hear the Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami, who would not speak to other people, but he revealed the whole Bhagavatam to him. So, therefore, Parikshit was not just a political leader, he was very, very exalted devotee of the Lord. And it is through him that, because he was the audience, that we have Bhagavatam spoken by Sukadev Goswami. Okay, any questions?
viewed it in different brushes. It seems like Prabhupada goes back and forth between the two different conceptions of life, that it's just the earth
planet. Is it earth planet or is it something else? Yeah.
You know, like that. Like he goes through the explanations, and at one point he says, 80,000 miles in length.
Yeah.
I just looked up the height of the Himalayas on the earth, it's only 5 miles.
So it's much bigger than what we see. But then he's talking about the Himalayas and crossing over the Himalayas, and then Kim Purusha Varsha on the side of the Himalayas, like Tibet or something like that.
Yeah.
So how do we accommodate that? So one explanation is given by Sariputta in his book when he talks about this. So he says the descriptions in scripture sometimes have layers of meaning. It means one meaning on one level, then has another meaning and another meaning. Huh? So then he takes like this, that one meaning of the this description of the Jambudvip and other areas is to describe localized positions on within the earth, and one is very local, that is Mount Meru somewhere in the Himalayas, and then put all these varshas around that. So we have Varsha to the south, and then we'll have Kuru Varsha on the north. Of that, maybe that's going into Russia or something like that. And then on the, we'll have Ketumala on one side and Bhadrastra on the other side. So that's maybe Afghanistan on one side and China on the other side. So that would be one kind of vision of that central Dvipa. Huh? From a very localized point of view, India and the surrounding areas around the Himalaya region. Huh? Then we have another vision of the whole Earth planet with all the continents being included. Yeah. And then we take North Pole as the center, is that Mount Meru there, and then we have all the continents around there with we can identify maybe as different varshas or something like that. Yeah. So that's another vision he has. Yeah. And of course the other one is to take the whole thing as a solar system, and then the dvipas are like the orbits of the planets in the solar system. So we get, in other words, we get different layers of meaning, very localized, a little bigger and a little bigger, like that. As I said previously, it's inevitable that Kali Yuga will manifest. So in other words, Kali will win. there's no countering that, because the will of the Lord, we have a Kali Yuga, you know. Of course, within Kali Yuga, we can have good parts and bad parts, but nevertheless, we go from Dwarpa to Kali, so it's inevitable it will take place. It's just a matter of, you know, delaying a little bit or more, but eventually it has to take place. So therefore we could say that Kali wins is also the Lord's arrangement in one sense. And we see even the Pandavas disappearing, marching off. They just, Kali Yuga's coming, we know that, so we're giving up the kingdom. And then they gave it to Parikshit, and then he had to maintain it. But they all knew that it was inevitable that Kali Yuga was going to, you know, manifest. So in other words, it's the arrangement of the Lord also. So ultimately we can say that it's not a matter that Parikshit would keep fighting and fighting and fighting against Kali, but all of you see knew that it was going to happen, so he was resigned to that fact.
Yeah. The Prabhupada does mention in various places that Parikshit could have countered the threats of the Brahmins very easily.
Could have, but he just, the will of the Lord that this happens, so therefore, you know, he's a devotee of the Lord, so he just follows that. Just as the Pandavas, they can say, we don't want to give up the kingdom, but then it's the will of the Lord, so they just willingly gave the whole thing up as well. When the Lord said you must fight and have the kingdom, they also obeyed that order. Yeah. But it's like the inevitability of time. The Lord himself disappeared. He's not having to stay here forever and maintain. I maintain it, and then I will also disappear. When he disappears, Dharma also goes with him. You know, so we can say this is just, the Lord respects the flow of time throughout the yuga cycles and throughout the day of Brahma, etc. Makes that arrangement, and nobody really can counteract that. Brahma can also counteract that. He has to go to sleep at night, get up the next day, start making everything, putting everything in order again, then again he has to go to sleep at night, and everything gets, you know, finished, and he has to start again the next day.
And also it seemed interesting that if you look at the chakras, and it was kind of the determination, this is quite clear in the Mahabharata, was the determination to see that the divine was maintained and always there was, you know, powerful kings to rule the world.
Yeah.
It seems like Parikit was the last powerful king, because after him, Kali used to have, Kali had more and more effect.
Yeah, yeah. Will of the Lord, ultimately. Yeah, like Janamajaya. But then the whole line got completely messed up, and the whole line was disappeared completely, and these unqualified people started assassinating each other and coming on, taking over the kingdoms, you know? That's described later on in the Bhagavad Gita. They assassinated each other and got on the throne and whatever like that. So, and then the last descendant, qualified descendant, just disappeared, and he went up to the Himalayas. And he won't manifest until the next Satyayuga. So that means that, you know, that's the will of the Lord also. So then he just withdraws. And then when Satyayuga comes, then he manifests and he establishes the rulership again. So if the will of the Lord, that I suppose we could say that the gunas manifest. And then sometimes tamagun gets prominent for the human being. So that's Kali Yuga. And then again, but just a shorter period. And then again, we get a long period of sattva manifesting in Satyayuga again. And, but within all periods, we get manifestation of the Lord, his new avatars, and then we establishing Dharma and establishing bhakti in every yuga. So the Lord takes care of everybody.
In the period of sattva, it was longer than all the other yugas together.
Yeah, it's four parts, and the Kali Yuga is one part, so it's like much, much bigger. Yeah. 4-1, I think it is.
Yeah, the book of Dhananda Goswami, which I find is explains everything very clearly and is very logical and makes a lot of sense. I'm just wondering, is that authorized by the BBC? Because I heard that it's not authorized.
I don't think they made any comment on that book. Of course, they haven't made any comment even on Sariputta's work also, so either way, they haven't come to any conclusion yet. And I don't think anybody's come to any conclusion. They were studying it for the TOVP, but I don't know if they've come to any conclusion there also. So
it's not true that it's not authorized?
It's not either authorized or unauthorized. It's neither. It's not that anyone accepts or rejects. Nobody's made any statement on that.
Because they used to sell it in different temples, and then they don't sell it anymore.
Oh, I see. I don't know why. It's not that it's banned or anything. No, there's no ban on it. Definitely not.
And also, I read in that book that Ketumala Vasha is a response to North Europe, where, you know, like Scandinavians and all these blonde.
Oh, okay. The golden people?
Yeah.
And the blonde Nordic people on that side.
And then you said that in one way, it seems like Jambudvip is taken as the earth, and then you explained after how it could be explained as the orbit of the planet. But as far as I read, when Sarabhita Prabhupada talks about the orbit of the planet, he's talking about the other islands.
Yeah, other dweeps. That's the other dweeps. Yeah.
Not in Jambudvip.
No. Yeah. Well, it's not really mentioned that it mentions his name. It mentions he's going to manifest, and Satya Yuga manifests. So obviously, if Satya Yuga, the people are bigger, he'll also be bigger, so we don't really know. But also, possibly we can't even speculate with our limited material minds, because everything is relative anyway. So if everybody, the last descendants or residents of Kali Yuga get destroyed by Kalki somehow or other in Satya Yuga, then we get a whole other race of people. How that takes place, I don't know. How they're related to the people in Kali Yuga. Maybe there's a few people in Kali Yuga left, the good people, and then they produce the people who start the population in Satya Yuga again. I really don't know. There's no details given in Bhagavatam particularly. Perhaps in some of the other Puranas there is, like Kalki Purana or something, maybe there is some more details given on that. But as far as size is concerned, it's obviously whoever rules in Satya Yuga is going to be, everyone's going to be similar size. So there's no abnormality there, they'll be probably same size, whatever that size is. And of course the lifespan is much longer. So we may think, well, how can they live that long, you know, thousands of years, 10,000 years, 100,000 years, and it sounds impossible from our point of view how they could live that long. Obviously their bodies are probably a little different from our bodies also, materially speaking, so it's impossible for us to really imagine that, because our minds are quite limited thinking about this is the world here, this is how it should be, but it can be quite different in different circumstances, by the will of the Lord.
Okay. Hare Krishna.